This channel is sponsored by Dab Apps. Hello, you're listening to Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. I'm Laura Evans and this is the Brighton Business Show. Broadcasting monthly, you can hear from local entrepreneurs, find out about schemes you could be taking advantage of, hear about events you might want to attend, and pick up tips from business experts. Our sponsor is Covers Timber and Builders Merchants, and on today's show, the Truth and Tales team are in the studio to tell us about how things are going with the self-publishing of their unique children's books. Viv Doktorovich will be telling us about Spring Forward and the events they're holding over March. Plus lots of reports from things across Brighton, new meetups, new creative spaces, and some really interesting debates going on at the Chamber. Time for some local business news. If you have any news, let me know and I can give you a mention on the show. Get in touch, tweet me at Laura of Brighton or use the form on the show page. Things like events, launches, what's going on with you? Let me know, send me a press release, hook me up to your blog and I'll give you a mention. Local business Crunch, who provide an online accounting software, had their suggestions for dividend tax changes presented at Westminster by Peter Kyle, MP for Hove and Portslade. Crunch say these changes will hit lower-earning company directors hard and implementation should be delayed to give businesses time to prepare. You can read more about that on the Crunch blog at crunch.co.uk. Brighton and Hove Chamber of Commerce have launched fortnightly meetups at their Entrepreneurial Spark offices. You can talk to Abby, the membership manager, and meet other members. Places are limited, so you need to book. Visit businessinbrighton.org.uk to do so. Brighton SEO free tickets sold out in just 1 minute. As always, they go super quick. Paid tickets to the conference on the 22nd of April are still available at brightonseo.com, starting at £75. 10-2 Sussex specialise in placing candidates into part-time jobs and they're looking for candidates with the following skills: ACA accountants and bookkeepers, tech types, so particularly SEO, PPC and engineers in telecoms and property. Talk to Emma Cleary, visit 10-2, that's the number 2 and the word 2, .org/locations Sussex. And congratulations to Claire Walsh and Aspect 8 for winning some awards at the Professional Advisor Awards. So Claire got Advisor Personality of the Year and Aspect 8 got Best Firm in the South East. So competing with over 200 companies. So well done. I'm trying a new section on the show to give your business a bit of exposure. So you've probably heard of an elevator pitch, and if not, it's about being able to pitch your business in a short amount of time in a way that will make the listener just want to know a bit more about you. So imagine you get into an elevator and a potential investor is there and you have a few minutes to pitch your business to them before they get off at their floor. So if you want to get involved, get in touch, and I have a very brave, at the moment, mystery guest who's come in to do the first one. So are you ready? She's nodding because she's not allowed to talk until I go. Ready, set, go.
Hello, my name's Caroline and I'm the founder of Bite Happy. Bite Happy is a worldwide restaurant search for people with food allergies, intolerances, special and religious diets. So that includes anything from vegan, vegetarian, paleo, gluten-free, dairy-free, you name it, it's on there. The reason I set up this website and app is because I'm a celiac myself and have suffered with it for over 10 years. And I also have a lactose intolerance and I really struggled to find any restaurants here or abroad. So I thought, why not set something up and help people? You can download the app for free from the App Store and on Google Play for Android. And you can also visit the website on www.biteappy.com. Or for my range of free-form recipes, so I do vegan, paleo, gluten-free recipes, you can visit my blog, which is blog.biteappy.com. It's a great way to find a restaurant that caters for all your needs. I hope you all love it.
That was perfect.
Good.
Well done. How was that?
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, it's great.
Not too scary then?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Hopefully, you know, I think it's a bit scary, the thought of coming in and doing an elevator pitch and having a minute. It's actually quite hard to fill a minute, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I would have thought, I was thinking, oh God, I'm going to just like blurble on and on. But actually, no, it's harder than you think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
If you want to have a go at that, get in touch. Tweet me at Laura of Brighton or use the show page, the form on the show page to get in touch and come in and do an elevator pitch. If you're brave, have a go at it. Now, did you know that there's a new space in Brighton for exhibitions and other creative happenings? I visited the new BozBoz offices to find out more.
Hi, my name's Mike. I'm the owner of BozBoz. We're a creative agency based in the centre of Brighton.
We're in your creative space at the moment, this new space that you've launched. It's very exciting. Tell me about that.
So we've just moved to a new office down by St Peter's Church, and we've been very lucky to have a kind of like a spare space on the ground floor. So we've converted that so that we can have pop-up exhibitions and events and sort of one-off interesting things going on.
What kind of people would use this space?
Well, we're looking for sort of artists and interesting kind of events, basically. So anyone who's got a great idea, basically.
And you kick this all off with an amazing launch party.
Yeah, so one of our clients, Eddie Locke, is a contemporary art dealer and specialises in sort of rare modern art like Banksy and Pam Glue and Jamie Reed. So he was... came along basically and hosted an exhibition for us, which was really good, just in December, and it was a really great night. So yeah, we're very creative here and work with a lot of artists too, so yeah, creativity is definitely at the core of everything we do, and we just love working with interesting creative people. Really, the environment you work in is a really central part of being creative, so for us it's been great to have the opportunity to really design our own office, and having creativity around you is going to inspire us every day. So having like a moving backdrop to our office when people are coming in and out every day is I think a big part of what's gonna inspire us to be creative for other people as well. The year started with a bang, really. So we've got a load of new clients just coming in. We're doing a rebranding project for Real Patisserie at the moment, which is great. One of the best, if not the best, I'm sure, patisserie in Brighton. So yeah, it's going to be hard not to eat too many cakes when we're working with them, I'm sure. But also we're just about to launch Jeremy Paxman's new website. And just loads of projects all coming out across simultaneously, really.
And if people want to find out more about using the space, how should they get in touch, like your website? Or
yeah, so if there's any sort of artists or kind of interesting people that have got an idea for an event and need somewhere to host it, then if they just come to the BozBoz website and sort of make an inquiry, then we'd love to talk to them and sort of hear what ideas they've got, really. www.bozboz.co.uk.
That was Mike Hollingbury of BozBoz talking about their new creative space. You're listening to the Brighton Business Show on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM or online at radioreverb.com, sponsored by Cover's Timber and Builders Merchants. I've got a busy studio today, and right now it's full of the Truth and Tales gang, Alice Reeves, Ben Galley and Phoebe Kirk. Hello.
Hello.
How are you all doing?
Very good. Cold, but good.
Oh, sorry.
It's chilly.
Should put the heating on. So, Ben, congratulations on getting shortlisted for a Stabby.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, so you do... This is for the adults' books, so I'm just going to point out. You do write adult books as
That's
well.
That's right. Epic fantasy and recently Western fantasy as well.
Great. And what is the Stabby?
A Stabby is an award put on by Reddit, the online forum. And so they do it every year in December. And it's basically a Stabby can be an award for the best. I was shortlisted for the best self-published book of 2015. Can other things as well, best game, best TV show, anything to do with fantasy or sci-fi.
Yeah. And we had you guys into the studio maybe about 6 months ago, and it was before you'd published your first book, and you're much further down that journey now. So Alice, just for anyone who might not know, in a nutshell, what do you guys do?
So we, collectively as Truth and Tales, we publish children's books that aim to eliminate prejudice, encourage acceptance and aid understanding of quite difficult concepts. So our first book, Molly the Mole, which is fully illustrated story aimed at children kind of aged like 3 to 7, depending on reading age. Molly the Mole is about dealing with kind of self-esteem and self-image and having a positive self-image that isn't based on appearance. And then our second book, Vincent the Vixen, which has just just come out, is about a boy fox called Vincent who realises that he's actually a girl. So it's about his process of gender expression and discovery, and then how he tells his family and how they collectively deal with that, but in a very, very positive way.
You're head on taking on these really kind of difficult subjects.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, with Molly, that was kind of, it was still tough to write and kind of distill down into that, you know, 800, 900 words, but I kind of wrote that from a lot of experience in terms of how I have historically
felt about myself. Both found that one quite easy to write in a sense because we both suffer from, you know, similar issues to Molly in the books, whereas Vincent, we had to, you know, outsource a lot for like people's journeys of, you know, their gender expression and their fluidity because we, in a sense, don't really have that personal experience.
Yeah. It was an issue that like personally has affected us because it's affected a lot of our friends and friends of friends. So we felt it was a really important issue to address, and it's come at a time when there's a lot of visibility around these gender issues at the moment. There's a lot of people in the mainstream media like Jack Monroe who are coming out as trans, whether binary or non-binary. So we felt that it was a really good time to kind of try and kind of push that movement forward and really help people's understanding of the issues. But we spoke to people at Stonewall, we've spoken to friends who have gone through this process themselves, whether in childhood or in adulthood, and we collectively have had about 5 or 6 people feedback on the book and give us pointers and say, well, you know, you could put that in a slightly different way.
Yeah.
And that's been really helpful. It's been such a learning experience for me. Until you kind of come to write it, you don't realise how hard it is to write children's books. It's really hard, but so rewarding and really enjoyable.
I was going to say, especially because we are sort of focusing on this from two angles. We're not only trying to help people, you know, who might be experiencing, or people, rather children, that might be experiencing these issues themselves, but also helping, you know, others in their class or, you know, in their schools that might not understand the issue, and parents as well, who might not understand the issue. So we're trying to tackle it from two different areas.
Yeah, I think that's really important. These books aren't just focused at children who are going through these particular things. They're also focused on maybe friends and family. So, you know, kind of teaching what the best way is to react and support people that might be going through something that's difficult instead of just trying to help people that are going through that themselves.
Mm. It's really nice to have, I mean, it seems to be most businesses I talk to have a real personal inspiration behind why they've set up a business, and obviously that's very kind of clear with you as well. Obviously there's things you've had to research, but other things that have been very kind of personal to you and inspired you to kind of do this. And this must have been a very interesting journey. It's tough publishing,
I
hear.
Yeah, I think we first met with Phoebe after Ben and I had this initial discussion about, it was just over a year ago, so...
Yeah.
So it's been a long road.
Yeah. January, I think, wasn't it, when we actually got it going?
We set the business up in May last year, and it was another sort of nearly 6 months before we published the first book, and it's such a learning curve in terms of, you know, there's all this stuff you have to think about, like formatting an ebook versus formatting a paperback and finding the right kind of supplier
where I come in. So I handle all the self-publishing, because not only am I, I write fantasy and adult books, but I'm also a self-publishing consultant. So that's what I sort of bring to the team. And even though I've had 5 years of experience helping loads of different authors publish all sorts of different books and done a graphic novel myself.
Never done a kids' book.
It's, kids' books. You know, even just changing the size changes your experience of it. But it's been fun. And now, looking forward to our third book, Carlos, The Chameleon, which is coming out soon as well.
Yep. So that's another kind of focused on the same vein. So it's about a chameleon that changes his colour to fit in with different animals, but then ultimately realises that it doesn't actually matter. He doesn't have to be exactly like the people he wants to hang around with.
Give away the ending.
Sorry. Spoiler alert.
And Phoebe, so you do the illustrations for this. You're kind of bringing these stories to life and...
visualising these characters. That must be a great role to...
Yeah, it's funny, because when Ben and Alice actually first approached me, I'd never done children's books, and I actually used to strictly say I would never do children's books, because I just didn't think I had that kind of style. All the things I used to do were like either commercially driven, like graphic design, or I did Metal Knight posters with zombies. So it was completely different to what I normally do. But actually, I found that this style that I'm working on with Truth and Tales is actually my favourite work I've ever done. Mm. There's been certain things that have been difficult, mainly just trying to anthropomorphise like animals is quite difficult when you're thinking about the different situations that they're in. You know, most of my days are spent thinking about how you get clothes on a fox, or how you make a mole look sad.
You did a great job of making the mole look sad.
Thanks, man. So, but yeah, it's really good. I mean, I've never done such highly colourful work before as well, and actually, really I'm colourful. Finding it's suiting me really well. Mm. So yeah, it's been a strange old journey, but it's actually working out really well.
And you know, since I had you in last, what are the things that you know, if only you knew then, six months, 7 months, 8 months ago, I can't remember when you were in, but if you could go back in time now and tell yourself something about the business journey, some tips or things you might have done differently, would there be anything?
I think it's mainly just the processes. I mean, because this is the first time we've worked together, the first time that any of us have ever tried to do this, you know, as a group as well as individually. So I think it's taken a while to get the processes in place in terms of, you know, when do we get feedback? You know, when should we all sit down and look at the artwork? You know, who should do this first or that first? Yeah. And obviously when it comes to publishing, you know, what's the most important thing to start with? So, I mean, we've all brought our own expertise to that, to the processes and designing them. But I think it's taken a while to just get that, you know, all together.
I think the biggest lesson I've learned is things always take longer than you think they will. Mm. So don't be too hard on yourself when be realistic with deadlines. And if you think you know what your deadline should be, add a month.
Yeah. Well, we used to be like, we'll publish one a month. Yeah. We'll get it done like really quickly. Here we are a year later.
Yeah. That's just because we're so excited about it. Yeah.
It's been quite interesting because illustrators by nature are quite solitary, and the same for authors as well. Mm. And learning to work with two other people, and it's been a lot easier than I thought it would be, but there's still been some things like communicating with each other, letting each other know it's not going to be finished by this time, so we need to add some clear time on that.
That's it.
And just communicate about where we're at.
That's it.
Well, I hope anyone listening is inspired by this, that whatever business they might have, to go out there and do it and do something a bit different and pursue their passion like you have.
Yeah, so highly recommended.
We hope so too.
The next package I'm going to play is about major developments in Brighton. Have you seen the proposed plans for the new Skylight restaurant above Mashimo?
No.
It's basically a spaceship.
Come in, I'm there.
Next to the thistle.
Above Mashimo. They're going to build
on the block?
On top of it. Except it's going to be like a floating...
Yep,
restaurant
there.
Above it with like a cyber lift. I know you're going to love this.
A cyber lift?
That's what it looks like. Yeah. That's probably not what it is. I'm no architect. But
I'll go with cyber lift. It sounds good.
Cyber lift to a floating spaceship. Yep. So
sounds incredible.
I knew you'd like this.
That sounds amazing.
Very Hitchhikers.
Yeah, very Hitchhikers. Restaurant at the end of the universe. Yeah.
I'll tweet some pictures out and I'll show you, and the listeners can see as well. But I'm going to play that next. Alice, Ben, Phoebe, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
So, talking of ambitious architectural plans for Brighton, the Brighton and Hove Chamber of Commerce held one of their regular major developments meetings, and I interviewed the speakers on the panel that are there to find out what's going on with these big projects in Brighton.
Hello, I'm Nick Hibbard. I'm the Acting Executive Director for Environment, Development and Housing at Brighton and Hove City Council, which means that I have the overall responsibility for how we develop the future of the city as a place. So today's event is about major developments that are happening in the city. So in terms of the Seafront Investment Programme, that's the Council's approach to how we ensure that we're able to redevelop and renew the seafront for the future of the city. The seafront in many ways is the city's crown jewels, and it's the centrepiece of our visitor and visitor economy, and yet it needs significant investment, around about £100 million worth of investment. And as well as being the place where people enjoy visiting, it's also one of our major transport corridors. So what I'll be talking about today is the programme of investment that runs all the way from Shoreham Harbour in the west to the Salt Dean Lido in the east, and all of the projects along the way that will help renew the seafront and form the overall investment programme. Well, we've got significant projects already underway. Everyone will be aware of the I-360, which is due to open in the summer. And off the back of the I-360, we've seen development now happening on either side. So the seafront arches have been renewed, and not only is that providing new business space for businesses, local businesses, to be able to have a seafront location, but it's also renewing the structure of the A259 for the future. Alongside that, we'll be improving some of the public realm along the seafront, improving the public space either side of the I-360. And we also will start to see the development of the new shelter hall structure, which again helps us to redevelop that heritage structure that is currently closed down, whilst also providing reinforcements to the A259 road. Many people will be aware that we've recently had a council committee decision agreeing the preferred bidder for the King Alfred, and we hope to be able to release more details on that soon. And then there's a number of other projects along the seafront looking at how can we redevelop the Madeira Terraces, the Peter Pan site, and the Brighton Waterfront project, which will see the relocation of the Brighton Centre to Blackrock. It's a fantastic time of opportunity in the city, and I think we're on the cusp of a new renaissance for the seafront, with real ambition and desire to see things happen. We're also in a good economic cycle, which helps ensure that those projects are viable, which means that the investment stacks up to allow projects to actually be delivered. But then lastly, the approach that the City Council's taken to having a coordinated programme has meant that we've been able to attract some public funding to help those projects be unlocked. And it's often small amounts of public funding that helps to unlock the much larger private investment that allows projects to actually take place. King Alfred will be developing a new leisure centre. Everyone will know that the current sports facility is tired and past its sell-by date and in need of redevelopment. And we are bringing forward a project that will see significant housing built on that site, with the housing development paying for a new sports and leisure facility. And the facility will really transform the sports offer, for not just for Hove, but really for the whole city. Peter Pan site, we're really building on the tradition of Brighton Seafront being a bathing location. And we're agreeing heads of terms with a developer following marketing that site to develop a 50-metre open water swimming facility, which really allows us to build upon the success and popularity of sports such as triathlon and open water swimming, which is currently happening both in the city and nationally. The council's website has updates on all of the major projects that are happening in the city. There's information there on what we're doing in relation to Madeira Terraces, Shelter Hall, and the King Alfred. So, yeah, by all means, go and have a look.
I am Nicholas Roll. I am co-owner with Carl Jones of Moshimo Restaurant. I'm here because I want to present the Skylight project that Carl and I are looking to do in Bartholomew Square. Skylight is a radical building that is basically will hover above Moshimo with sea views and views over the city. It's quite a radical building. I mean, something that really has never really been tried before, and that is literally to plonk a beautiful building, literally parasitically, on top of another. That's the idea. It'll be a restaurant, different restaurant to Moshimo, but accessed through Moshimo.
So like a hovering spaceship restaurant?
Yeah. We are at the stage where we will be getting planning permission, hopefully soon. We were meant to have already got it, but there were some procedural problems that we had with the planning application. I'd say 2017 would be nice. What inspired me to do it is the real belief that that the city, the urban fabric, can be made better through creativity. To create value out of nothing is something that really excites me. The idea that you can take a space that is failed, which Bartholomew Square, let's face it, is a failed civic square, except for Moshi in it, and turn it into something that's exciting through creative architecture. And there are so many places in Brighton that that could happen, and that's what excites me. Well, Moshimo's behind Fish Love, which is now a global phenomenon, actually. It's a series of photographs that we produce every year to highlight and raise awareness about overfishing and the marine conservation. So it features celebrities naked holding fish in their arms, and it's been extraordinarily successful in getting the issue on the front pages of newspapers around the world. Moshimo.co.uk or the Fish Love campaign is fishlove.co.uk.
Hi, I'm Andrew Comben. I'm Chief Executive of Brighton Dome and Brighton Festival. So we were talking about the Royal Pavilion Estate Master Plan. That's a project work that is taking us through to 2023, but looking at the whole Royal Pavilion Estate and thinking about how best to restore and redevelop it. And we were talking particularly about the development of the Corn Exchange and the Studio Theatre, which is what I'm working on at the moment. These are Grade One listed buildings across the Royal Pavilion Estate in the middle of Brighton. They're amazing for anyone who knows Brighton. They think of the Royal Pavilion immediately. But the Corn Exchange was originally the riding school for George IV. It's the most wonderful space. We do almost everything in it, from conferencing, private events, to dance, contemporary dance, music and theatre. But it's in desperate need of restoration, so it needs real investment in the structure of the building. But then we also want to improve it for our audiences and for visitors. I think of it as the Turbine Hall for Brighton, really, and we hope that we can really engage a whole new group of people in the work that we do here and create new art and new ways of telling the heritage of the estate. We hope to start in the autumn of 2016 and run through to 2018 with an opening in around the autumn of 2018.
That was a report from Major Developments, an event held by Brighton Chamber, and thanks to Andrew, Nicholas and Nick for contributing there. I'm Laura Evans and you're listening to the Brighton Business Show on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, sponsored by Covers Timber and Builders Merchants. They are an independent, family-owned business and offer a wide range of products for both trade and DIY, so do go and check them out. They've been very generous sponsoring the show. And if you want to become a sponsor of a show, you can. Well, what about sponsoring the station? So we're run by volunteers and off the generosity of your donations and of that of the show sponsors, and you can help keep the station independent and ad-free. Streamline Taxis are one of our station sponsors.
Streamline Taxis 2020. We've been here 80 years, now supporting Radio Reverb.
I went to see the launch of a short film by Green Box Works. Robert Jones Mantle tells us more.
I'm Robert Jones Mantle and I live in the North Lane. I've been in Brighton since 1984, studied computing, law and business. I've been at Magpie 20 years, so I've been interested about the environment and passionate about democracy for that long.
What are we doing here today?
We're here because we're premiering a film called North Lane Green Box, which is our idea to integrate recycling services for households and businesses in the North Lane. There's an awful lot of problems which really are down to having a communal recycling service. It's not working. A lot of it gets burnt because of contamination just because it's wet. At the moment, if you're a business in the area, you may be paying £100 a year just for the waste documentation. But what we're saying is that that's just filling out something on a website. So if we were to save you that, would you like to see some of those savings just put into more public services like cleaner streets and less tagging? Because that helps your business if the North Lane's cleaner anyway, because you get tourists will come back and go, what lovely clean streets. And where did those horrible black bins go?
Oh, you're not a fan of the bins?
In some circumstances, they'd be needed, but as many as there are, really, has it really been thought through properly? I think, you know, they've been out there now for 3 years, 4 years. They're filthy, horrible, they smell. Recycling rate's gone down since they've come out there. We're saying we can companion it for a while and let's see how we go together. We're not talking about giving the council through the communities more money to spend on public services. So why not? You know, we're just trying to get a bit of feedback and we're trying to raise awareness that there is a problem. We know poor air quality kills people. Recycling's not working. Come on, council, work with this community solution. We're not trying to displace anything. We're not talking about replacing the council workers, just how the money's spent. They can get on with the bigger issues of social housing and gives them more time to deal with those issues that residents themselves can't deal with. So it's not supposed to be scary. As part of understanding what could and couldn't work for the North Lane, we thought, let's give it a go. So we found 10 businesses that wanted to move who did their waste. So we picked up their recycling every week and they paid us what they were going to pay their original provider. And that obviously created a small surplus, which we used to spend on providing a curbside for one street in the North Lane. So there is one street in the North Lane, Frederick Gardens, probably has the best recycling rate in Brighton. And it hasn't cost the council any more money.
You're recognising that there's a problem.
Yeah.
You're not whinging about it. You're saying, here's a solution.
Yeah.
And you're experimenting with that possible solution at the moment.
Yeah. And from April, there will be a period of 3 to 4 months where we have to get more response from councillors and council about what the barriers are to working together. Because in the plan, we talk about streaming spending rather than pooling budgets. So they'd stream their money alongside the public money that we raise. And from that, increase public services. So we've just got to get over that element of fear of the unknown. We hope, because this video is, you know, in my opinion, it's very friendly and approachable. It'll get people talking about it. We want people to go, yes, we'll try it with you as an extension of your pilot.
So this animation, it's very much the first stage of raising people's awareness at the moment.
It is, yeah. It's basically, it's a video, people can see it, say, I live in the North Lane and go, yeah, I support it, but only if. But on the other side, it's like, I don't think it'll ever work, and here's the reasons why. From April, another workshop, and hopefully more people will come along and go, yeah, the methods you're using, we understand them, and we will support them going forward.
And how can people get in touch with you to kind of come along to that workshop and be aware of what you're doing?
Green Box Works is the Twitter feed for most of my outrageous commentary on the situation. Yeah, the film will be up on YouTube. But yeah. Or Magpie, you can find me at Magpie quite often. I mean, you can go to green.boxwork.in.
I'll post a link to the video so people can watch it.
Great.
On the show page.
That was Robert Jones-Mantle of Green Box Works. He's trying to start a conversation about recycling in the lanes in Brighton and what can be done to improve it. So what do you think? Tweet Robert at Green Box Works. And you can tweet me at Laura of Brighton. This is the Brighton Business Show on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM with me, Laura Evans, sponsored by Covers Timber and Builders Merchants. Available to download and listen to on your commute via laura-brighton.podomatic.com. Check out radioreverb.com for other shows and to donate to the station. So March will see many interesting events going on during Spring Forward. And to tell us about it, so we don't miss out, Viv Doktorovic joins me in the studio now. Hi, Viv.
Hello, Laura. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Tell me a bit about what inspired you to start up this festival.
Well, the festival, it was kind of serendipity that made it happen. It was a couple of years ago. I was running an event called Laser UX for women interested in user experience design, and that was during March. And I realised that a couple of the women I know that were also running events at the same time and at the same venue were also events aimed at women who were working or interested in a digital industry. So thinking about power in numbers, I thought, well, it would be easier, kind of get, you know, more visibility if we kind of joined up forces and also kind of inspire what the Brighton Digital Festival does. We thought, well, what can we not have, like, you know, as kind of a smaller version but aimed at women, as because we knew that you know, it was a need for more events aimed at women working in digital in Brighton.
So it's quite an organic growth, really.
Yeah, it started with 3 events a couple of years ago. Last year, we grew to 7 events, and all of them were sold out, which it was quite amazing. I kind of made it realise that it's obviously a real need for these kind of events to happen, and not only during March, but throughout the whole year. So the idea is that our festival can provide visibility to these events or even launch them and make them happen for the first time. And then after that, they can carry on, you know, by themselves throughout the year.
And you've been so successful, actually. You've kind of expanded your team of organisers.
Yeah, I mean, there's always been few people involved, but now it's two of us who are kind of really focusing the festival, so it's Jenny Lloyd and myself. And it's obviously all the event organisers that as well, you know, they do their bit to make the festival happen.
Brilliant. And let's talk about some of those events. So I was going to give a mention to the Career Garden Masterclass. That's on Thursday, the 17th of March. It's free. It's an interactive workshop helping you to overcome disempowering thought patterns and limiting beliefs that can get in the way of you achieving success. So like a confidence building workshop, really, that one. And I will post a link to the details of that. That's run by Lisa Westbury of Career Garden, who was on the show in November, actually, talking about creativity in the workplace.
Yeah, we're very excited about having Career Garden Masterclass as part of our programme because from our experiences in the festival last year, one of the big issues for women to both get into the digital industry and as well as progressing within the industry was kind of confidence. So that's kind of quite a big theme this year. So we got Careers Garden. We think that will help with that. But it's also 300 seconds that happen every year, which helps women kind of to become more confident in public speaking. So yeah, confidence is quite a big theme, and we think that events like Career Masterclass are really needed.
And what's 300 seconds? So that's an opportunity for someone to have a go at public speaking if they've not done it before. How does that work?
So it works is like that they that women can sign up, and if they're interested in speaking about something, and it's just a short talk, which means that it's less daunting for the first time if you've never spoken in public before, and also that they get mentoring to kind of create the talk as well as practicing the talk to be ready for the night of the event. So they get like a one big practice 1 week before the event, where they, you know, they get feedback on how they're doing and help, you know, and help on kind of building confidence to be ready for speaking to public.
That's very supportive. That's, can they talk about anything?
Yep, they can speak about anything. Obviously, they tend to be focusing on things to, related to digital, but that doesn't have to be the case every time. So, yeah. Yeah, so there is quite a few new events. So I'll say we were 7 events last year, and this year we already got over 10 events, and there's more events being added every week. So we keep growing, and yeah, I mean, confidence being one of the themes, and another theme that we kind of identified last year was around sort of leadership, because one of the things that we noticed in the industry is that because most of the companies are being founded and run by men, the culture tends to be very much a male culture. So the only way to change that around is by having more companies that are kind of led by women. So so we have an event this year which we're excited about as well, which is Make Your Ideas Happen. That's run by the Sussex Innovation Centre, and the idea is that women that have an idea of a business they would like to start, they can go there and they'll kind of get some help on how that kind of grow that idea and which steps to take next to make that idea a reality. So that's a good one as well.
A lot of people, you know, they have the ideas and they sit on them for quite a while and they don't make the kind of ideas happen. So this hopefully this will help push some people over the edge to maybe actually get into getting their business going.
Yes, exactly. That's the idea. So, and we think also that obviously that's kind of for women, sort of older women, sort of grown ups. But we think that, you know, there is an issue that actually should be addressed. Since you're kind of a little girl, so we have events aimed at children like Curiosity Hub, but also we have a new event this year which is Think Nation, which allows sort of younger people, so probably, you know, around teenagers, to actually go and speak about issues they're interested in. And the idea is that the format is that they have 3 speakers, one being a young woman from the community, another one an artist, and another one a thought leader. So that kind of young woman will get as much visibility as the other 2 people. And the theme that's been chosen for this event to discuss is women quotas in tech. A positive and a crucial step, or a patronising premise. So I think that is going to start a very interesting conversation.
That will be a really interesting one. I'm going to have to come along to that one.
Yeah.
Maybe I could interview some people there as well.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. But that's the real interesting subject. What's your kind of view? Do you have a view on quotas? Or?
I think it's very difficult. Like, it's a discussion, like, for example, just by running events aimed at women, you know, it's always kind of racist, like, you know, is that an unnatural thing? You know, why do you need, you know, women only events? You know, if is that not going to make thing, you know, it make it even more, what's the problem by keeping, you know, women and men separate? But the reality is almost like a vicious circle happening, you know, as I said, like, you know, organizations are run by men, the culture is kind of very male, which makes it really difficult for women to join or to stay long-term in some of these organizations. So sometimes you need to do something a bit more artificial to help to break that vicious circle. So I think that you know, there is a need for something similar to, I don't know if quotas, but at least to make sure that steps are taken to make sure that more women are hired in the tech industry.
Yeah, and you know, it's good that you're actually starting that conversation. Is it good? Is it bad? Mm. What would be an alternative? How would it work? How can we make this work? So you're actually starting the conversation around those things.
Yeah, and I think that as long as the conversation, you know, keeps going and everybody, you know, everybody kind of contributes to it, because that is not right or wrong, that is not a right solution. And for some women, they don't need that help. They don't need any kind of support or a quota to exist for them to kind of go and join in the conversation. But some women have less confidence, so they need a bit more support. So that's what, you know, we want to address.
And are there like a range of prices for all these events? I noticed there's quite a lot of free ones. Mm,
they are all free.
Okay,
so
brilliant.
Yeah, one of the premises of the festival is that we get sponsorship, so we can keep all the events free because we want everybody in the community to join. And we don't want it to be any kind of barriers. So so we are very happy that there are lots of businesses in the community that really believe in what we do. So they support us year after year and, you know, help us to keep the events free and make it happen. And Clear Left, which is an agency that have an event space called 60 Amy the Street, they very kindly from the beginning has given us the space for free. So that kind of makes it much easier to make it happen. Yeah.
Brilliant. How can people find out more about what's going on?
So the easier way to find out more is going to our website, which is whisperingforward.com, and they can find links to all the events there. I'll get some information about the festival and ways of getting in touch with us if, you know, if they want to join and take part and anything to do with the festival.
Excellent. As always, I will post a link on the show page and tweet out some information as well, so people can find out a bit more there. Viv, thanks very much for coming in.
Oh, thank you, Laura, for inviting me.
Should the EU be more business friendly? That was the subject of the recent Brighton and Hove Chamber of Commerce debate, and with some fantastically eloquent keynote speakers. So we had Brighton Green Party MP for Brighton Pavilion, Caroline Lucas, and Conservative MEP for the South East of England, Daniel Hannan, all chaired by Frank Leduc of Brighton and Hove News. I spoke to all of them. When I spoke to Daniel, it was after the event, so I didn't manage to quite get hold of him, so that's why his recording sounds a bit different. But let's have a listen to what they had to say.
I'm Frank Leduc. I had the great pleasure and the privilege of chairing the Chamber of Commerce big debate today on should the EU do more for business. I think it's possible that once or twice people in the audience or in the panel may have strayed onto more narrow political issues, but nonetheless, fascinating to listen to. A terrific debate by two politicians, Caroline Lucas and Dan Hannan, with very different views, were very complimentary about each other, and took part in a great spirit and were really good at setting out what they thought for and against staying in or leaving the European Union. The EU is not just in Brussels, it's in our lives, and for better or worse. And I think Caroline was trying to, much like Monty Python saying, what have the Romans ever done for us? I think her line about what has the EU done for us was a very interesting case in point. And I think Dan conversely tried to get across some of the great handicaps, as he sees them, of remaining in. Have I made up my mind? Oh, heck no. I have my thoughts, but it's a toughie, isn't it? It's so easy to listen to one or other of them and think, that's a really good point. Or, no, I definitely don't agree with that. But the trouble is, they're both good at making those kind of points, a whole string of those points that you either agree with or disagree with. And I don't know, there's time yet to make up my mind.
My name's Caroline Lucas. I'm the MP for Brighton Pavilion, representing the Green Party. And I'm here today for a debate about the EU, debating Dan Hannan, who obviously wants us to leave the EU. I should be putting the other perspective, and the context for the debate is about the role of the EU when it comes to business. I think if Britain were to leave the EU, it would be, you know, really bad news for a lot of businesses that rely on access to what is the biggest single market in the world. We know that about 80% of businesses that were surveyed by the CBI definitely want to stay
Susan
in.
Beckingham.
Even 63%
of small copywriting services. I'm a freelance copywriter, and so it's a business networking event, really.
So
and what kind of businesses do you expect to come along?
Lots of different networking events.
I hope we have a bit of a bit of time as well, just a bit, to be able to talk about, you know, the values-led reasons why the EU is important, why, as the world becomes ever more complex, then working together, cooperating between ourselves, I think, becomes ever more important. The referendum will be a real opportunity for businesses and indeed everybody to learn more about the real facts about the EU. I think quite a lot of the time, the real situation is covered up with myths and with you know, all kinds of rhetoric, and actually the real facts are sometimes quite hard to come by. So I'm hoping that this afternoon will also be an opportunity, as you say, for people to learn more as well as to kind of form a position as well. I hope that the businesses that are present here today will take the opportunity to let us know what they think as well. I hope it's going to be a real exchange of views. And I'm hoping that by, you know, making ourselves available to businesses, hopefully they'll be able to lobby us and leave us in no doubt about the key issues as far as they're concerned. This referendum is, you know, a long overdue opportunity to have a real discussion about Britain's place in the world. And it feels like a really important time to be doing that. And I just hope that people will recognise that on the whole, although the EU isn't perfect, and I've been a member of the European Parliament, I've seen it up close, I know it's not perfect, but nonetheless, that we are stronger, that we are safer, that we're better off inside the EU trying to reform it rather than walking away and jumping into we don't know what, frankly.
So it was great to be at the Brighton and Hove Chambers of Commerce, making the case as to why the EU, although it's very good news for megabanks and multinationals, is not such good news for small and medium firms, firms that can't employ lobbyists in Brussels and that can't spend millions rigging the rules to suit them and hurt their smaller rivals. This is one of those great moments when the politicians aren't in charge, when everyone's in charge. You know, my vote counts the same as the voters, anyone watching this programme now. And, you know, I'll be voting to put myself out of work, and I'm encouraging other people to, but if the vote goes the other way, life carries on. People are sovereign, and I think it's really, really good to have referendums to remind politicians that we work for everybody else. Now, I always think it's really important to remember who it is who's generating the surpluses that all politicians depend on. I mean, everything that is spent on healthcare, education, transport, police, and for what it's worth, you know, the salaries of politicians, all of it is generated from business people. And, you know, MPs and MEPs are very good at saying thanks to nurses and teachers and soldiers and policemen, but I think it's really important to come and occasionally say thank you to the people who generate the revenue that pays for all the nurses and teachers and soldiers and policemen, as well as for us. No Eurocrat, or very few in my experience, can begin to imagine what it's like for a small firm operating within tight profit margins. That's why we're always getting these bizarre, outlandish rules. And that's why, ultimately, I think we'd be better off as an independent country making our own regulations and trading with the whole world.
That was the Brighton and Hove Chamber of Commerce Big Debate. Thanks to Caroline Lucas, Daniel Hannan and Frank Leduc for your contributions. Be interesting to hear what you think. Obviously, it's a complicated subject, and a lot of people were there really just to find out more about what it means for their business to stay in or leave the EU, and, you know, and then maybe make some comments about what could the EU do that would help businesses. What more could they do? Anyway, I just happened to stumble across a new networking event in Brighton the other week, and luckily I had a mic to hand to interview organiser Susan Beckingham. It's the Brighton Business Connections lunch.
My name's Susan Beckingham. I run Sussex Copywriting Services. I'm a freelance copywriter and I write content and copy for websites.
And I've literally by chance stumbled upon this new event that you're doing, the launch of this new event. Tell me about this.
Yes, you have. It's great to see you. It's a very informal event. It's going to be taking place at the end of every month at the fabulous 10 Green Bottles in Jubilee Street, which is a wine bar. We are going to have people along who want to really develop their business. So it's a business networking event, really.
And what kind of businesses do you expect to come along?
Lots of different ones. We have sole traders, accountants, people representing law firms, people developing and growing all sorts of different businesses that representing themselves or even larger businesses. It's very friendly, very informal, great fun.
And what's the cost of the event and what do they get for that?
Well, the cost of the event per person is £14, and for that they get a drink on arrival, a fabulous lunch provided by Morella Velasquez of the Taste of Calabria, who does fantastic food, and obviously the networking event themselves.
So there's a real buzz around this event, and this isn't the only networking event that you do, is it?
Yes, that's right. I really enjoy running networking events. I run Third Friday Brighton, which is, as it sounds, on the third Friday of every month, and that's at the Merca Bar in Jubilee Street, part of the My Hotel, which is great. And also Second Friday Hove, which again, as it sounds, is on the second Friday of every month, and that is at the Watchmaker's Arms, which is a delightful microbrewery just down from Hove Station. They're free of charge, I'm very glad to say. You don't need to book, just pitch up, buy a drink and mix and mingle and just develop your business that way. It's fantastic fun.
And if people want to find out more about all of these events, how can they get in touch with you?
I'd be delighted to respond promptly to anyone who wants to email me, susan@sussexcopywriter.co.uk. Susan is spelled S-U-S-A-N. And I'd be delighted to contact anyone.
That was Susan Beckingham talking about the Brighton Business Connections lunch. This is Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, and this is the Brighton Business Show with me, Laura Evans. And I'm welcoming into the studio Patrick Sansom, who's coming to tell us about an event he's holding. Hi, Patrick.
Hi there.
So, tell us about UX Camp Brighton.
Okay, so UX Camp Brighton is what we call an unconference. So it's an event where, a bit like a conference, you get people speaking and people kind of taking that in. But the unconference part is at the people who come along actually take part in the sessions and put the sessions on. So it's a low barrier to entry, and it means that anybody can talk. So it's for people who are interested in user experience design, and that field encompasses kind of a variety of things. It's a bit hard to describe user experience design, but it's things like user research, interaction design, information architecture, usability, accessibility, content, all that sort of stuff that goes into designing and developing digital products. That'd be websites and apps and things like that.
And what kind of people would you have coming along? Because it's not necessarily just people working in the field of UX.
No, absolutely. It's just anything that's related, really. So we're going to have a session we've had sort of over 80 people sign up to do sessions. And one of those is going to be by Reefa, who I know you know, and she's going to do one on mindfulness and meditation and how that relates to work. So how you can, when you're getting stressed at work, you know, you can kind of spend 15 minutes to get your focus on. So it doesn't have to be just about, you know, how to optimize your kind of shopping experience. It can be about anything. And we want the sessions to be not just talks, but to be workshops, discussions, games, all sorts of stuff to make it more interesting and interactive.
It is a very interesting event, and I've been, you know, a couple of years previously. You've done this for quite a while now, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah, this is the fifth event, and it's grown from year to year. So last year we sold nearly 150 tickets. We get people coming from across the UK, Europe, and even further afield. And we give a prize to the person who's travelled the furthest. So I think last year it was going to be somebody from the US, but they didn't turn up in the end. So in the end, I think it was somebody from, I've forgotten where it was, somewhere in Eastern Europe, but it was a long way.
Yeah, and, you know, it's always very well organised, I've noticed as well, because UX people, you know how to hold an event. You know, you get the queues down quickly.
Yes.
Everything's very well done.
Yeah, so it's a non-profit event. So we all do this for the love of it. And we don't get paid, but we love to put a good event on. So and we're professionals, obviously, in our day-to-day work, so we kind of make an effort to make sure it's worthwhile. So you get a hell of a lot for very little. Ticket prices were £10 and £15, and you get, like, free food and drink and lunch and beer and quiz and after party and all of that, as well as great quality sessions where you can participate in, learn, and network as well.
It seems like quite a good way in for people who aren't really experienced in speaking. It's quite a nice environment to start doing that.
Absolutely, yeah. So I found, that's why I kind of got involved really. I found the UX camps were the most beneficial in terms of learning and networking, much more than the paid conferences. Sorry to anybody out there who runs them, but that's what I found personally. You also get a chance to practice. So for newbies, it's great, but it's also great for experienced people. So experienced practitioners get a chance to potentially look for new recruits if they're hiring, but also practice perhaps a session they've been thinking about, which they might do at a paid conference. And for the newbies, they get a chance to practice a skill that's kind of integral to their job as a UXer, which is running a workshop, facilitating, doing a talk, presenting your findings. So you need to be getting these skills down. So it works for everybody at all levels, really.
So you don't need to speak, though? You don't have to speak?
No, absolutely not, no. So that's why we have two ticket types. And not every year. I think we're the only bar camp that does this. And the reason we do it is to encourage people to think about the session. So we have tickets for session hosts, which are £10, and tickets for participants, which are £15. And the titles are named that for a particular reason. So session host is so that it's not just a talk, and participant is you're not just observing, you need to get involved in workshops and contribute. To encourage kind of an equality across the attendees. By having the session host tickets in advance and clearly defined that way, it means that people spend a little bit of time thinking about it. It doesn't have to be highly polished, but just to spend a bit of time making some notes. So when you get there, you've got some interesting ideas to share. Too often at bar camps, people kind of pitch up on the day and have got some scribbled notes, if that. They're working it in the morning, and it's a little bit too ad hoc, and that's okay if a few people do it, but to ensure there's good quality, you want a majority of people to have thought a bit about it beforehand. And then they get more out of the session themselves once they've done a bit of preparation. They get kind of more learning and more experience from it.
So when is it?
So it's 19th of March on a Saturday. The doors open at 9:30, and the first session kicks off at 10:30. And then it runs through till about 4:30. Then we have a quiz, which is tremendous fun, and lots of beer. And then we go to the after party. So it's a really packed, intense day. It'll fly by. You won't realise it's happening. And I know it's a Saturday, so not everybody wants to kind of do something that's vaguely work-related, but I can guarantee anyone who's been will tell you it's great fun, and you'll be glad you came.
So it's at City College, Brighton?
Yes, it's at City College, which is the central campus, Pelham Tower. It's only a few minutes from Brighton Station.
And if people want to get tickets, where can they find out more?
So we've sold out the first three batches of the session host tickets, but there is a wait list. And we've sold out the first batch of the participant tickets. And they're probably, at the time this goes out, the second batch of participant tickets will be out. And you have a look at our website and see if you can get hold of them. So shall I give you the website address?
Mm-hmm.
It's uxcampbrighton.org. That's uxcampbrighton.org. And go to the ticket page there and you'll be able to see a link to get hold of one.
Brilliant. Thanks for coming in.
Absolutely. No problem. Thank you for having me.
Excellent. And I'll put a link on the show page and tweet it out so people can see the details there. You've been listening to the Brighton Business Show with me, Laura Evans, on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. Thanks to sponsors Covers Timber and Builders Merchants. And thank you to our many contributors. I'm going to take a deep breath. Patrick Sanson of UX Camp Brighton. Brighton Chamber guests at the Major Developments event, Nick Hibbard, Nicholas Roll and Andrew Cumbin. The Big Debate panel, Caroline Lucas, Daniel Hannan and Chair Frank LeDuc. Susan Beckingham of Brighton Business Connections Lunch. Mike Hollingbury from BozBoz. The Truth and Tales Gang. Green Box Works, Robert Jones Mantle. Viv Doktorovich from We Spring Forward and the very brave Caroline Oldham of Bite Appy for doing the elevator pitch. Details are on the show page of all guests at radioreverb.com. Check out the podcast for previous shows at laura-brighton.podomatic.com. Give me a tweet at Laura of Brighton. Let me know your news and maybe see you on the show. And thanks very much for listening.